Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio. Welcome to the Renegade Roundtable. This is your host for tonight, Kyle Hunt, coming to you from RenegadeBroadcasting.com. I have my weekly Sunday night show coming up tomorrow night. I will be doing a solo show on the topic of education, primarily primary school, along with some other related topics, getting into Common Core a little bit. Tonight, I suppose I will deal with some recent current events. I haven't really been talking much about such things. I'm not really too interested in them, to be honest. I thought it was great to be able to talk about the gods and goddesses on my last weekly show. I really don't like talking about Trump, the whole administration, and all the reality TV drama associated with it. So I would like to take some of your suggestions where we can go with this conversation here tonight. 747-999-6407. This is a roundtable. Again, 747-999-6407. Some people might like to complain about the way certain shows go, but you can help to steer the ship, even though I might resent that, but you can try. And if you're doing a good job, I'll let you take hold of the rudder for a while. So please do think of calling in. It's difficult. It's difficult doing a round table where you've got people who are likely paid agents calling in to disrupt the flow of the show. And you don't want to be too quick to judge sometimes, to make it seem like you're shutting down any kind of dissenting opinions or just other perspectives. I'm pretty good about it, and sometimes I just like to let people have enough rope to hang themselves. Is that what our overlords are doing recently? It certainly seems to be the case, as Goy Daddy was talking about in the wild card last night. He thinks that they just can't stop. A lot of people have talked about this, and they really are going overboard. And it's a good thing for us, to be honest. Have you seen the English translation, the dubbed video for Aryan Reservation or Aryan Park? It's kind of like Jurassic Park, but with naked blonde beasts tracked, collared with a tracking device and made to just look so bestial out there in the woods, fornicating, doggy style. And oh, it's such a great celebration because the Aryan race will continue on in this little controlled habitat. It's mocking white genocide as well as dehumanizing Germans. And this was put out by the German government itself. Quite Jewish, quite occupied. And I really think it'll backfire. It's not funny. It's rather disgusting. Something that just gives you a very bad feeling in your stomach. But good. Please, bring on some more Juden swine. Please, I beg of you, please pass this anti-BDS bill in Congress. Please, I beg of you, put me away for 20 years for what I'm going to do at the upcoming AIPAC conference. I think that would be great. Because if you were to start throwing people in jail for 20 years for protesting against Israel, for boycotting Israel, well, then I don't think I'd actually last 20 years in that prison. I think things would start to change very, very quickly. So a lot of what they're doing with all of this is psychological warfare, fear tactics, trying to get people to shut up without actually having to exert too much force. This is Sun Tzu's art of war. Getting your enemy to lay down arms and give up before fighting even begins. That's essentially what they've been able to do with some strategic and well-publicized arrests that they've made in places like Britain and Germany. I don't think it is going to be ultimately successful, but it sure has been able to squash opposition for the time being. The talk of censorship within the United States and the literal application of censorship has been quite effective at getting some people to just self-censor. Well, if I want to remain on YouTube, I cannot talk about the Jew. So I'll just make little passing references to the JQ so that I might be able to continue pulling in shekels from the many, many supporters I have. And I don't want to get removed from Patreon, so, you know, flash the fash hole, let's talk about making America great. Not seeing much action in the chat room. You got the Coney Pony, level 5 toaster, pacifist piss trail, Urban was around, well, that was last night, staying up late listening to John Smith's music. Not a whole lot of chat action. I'm not in there much myself, to be honest. There's so much to be doing. And I don't really mind seeing the chat go dormant sometimes. A lot of what people consider to be online activism just seems to be a whole lot of BSing around, to be quite frank. Whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or some private social messaging. You know, I just really think that it's gotten to the point where a lot of people are just spinning their wheels. I hope that has not become the case here at Renegade. I still see quite an important function for this media outlet. If I didn't, I would probably have shut it down by now and gone on and done other things with my life. Believe me, Renegade has a lot of negativity associated with it. It's not all fun and games and glory. No, certainly not. It can be a pain in the ass sometimes, including just doing a Saturday night show when really what you'd like to be doing is sleeping or listening to somebody else producing content. Being a young parent, some nights you just don't get a whole lot of sleep and you have to drink a whole lot of coffee in order to make it through the day. But we must move on. We must keep going. Still no calls. Come on, jump in the round table. It is a round table. Perhaps I should get on to some of the notes here. Yes, the times they are a changing. There is a pushback. Pro-white sentiment is now quite fashionable. Not just fashionable, but actually fashionable, especially with the youth culture and with the alternative media. This was certainly not the case when we first started here at Renegade. We were in quite a hostile environment as far as the alternative media goes, but hey, really, what has changed? We're still in a hostile environment because we're not playing ball with these controlled opposition agents. Think about this. Renegade Tribune and Renegade Broadcasting both are at an all-time high if not close to an all-time high. But yet, where have the interviews gone? Nobody seems too interested in interviewing myself or Sinead, even though we are, well, some of the biggest influencers on the web. We've had a massive impact, and by the way, Renegade Tribune and Renegade Broadcasting are just two of our many outlets, although admittedly they are some of the biggest. Yes, look at this, RenegadeTribune.com. We cracked 100,000 ranking on Alexa. Check that out. That looks to be an all-time high. Great stuff from everybody who contributes over there. Thanks for all of the great material. That takes up a good amount of my Renegade time as well, being the publisher, editor, and sometimes writer over there. I think that has been quite effective at getting a lot of people interested in our cause, because we cover a lot of different topics over there. All right, looking at RenegadeBroadcasting.com. Yes, it looks like we have reached a new peak with RenegadeBroadcasting.com. Right above, or rather below, the 180,000 mark. That's a global rank. Pretty damn good. And, you know, I think of all the things we could or should be doing with this network, and yet we still have two open wildcard slots. That is rather disappointing. We have an amazing tool, an amazing platform here that can be used as an amazing weapon in our arsenal in this struggle. And yet we don't have enough people to man the cannons. So please do think about stepping up, contributing content to either Renegade Tribune or Renegade Broadcasting. Also, there are some people who know the actual stats, the server stats, who seem to think that the rankings on Alexa are actually really underestimating our reach, even though what they are saying publicly is very, very good. Hey, if you don't want to do anything publicly, you can also send those shekels. Please think about it, especially if you haven't before. I really do want to thank everybody who has supported the network in some way, shape, or form. It really does mean a lot and help to keep us going. We are doing a lot. Go over to RenegadeVids.com. Yes, RenegadeVids.com. A good way to navigate through that site is to search through the videos by category. The documentaries category is a good one, some very good documentaries. Please do watch the latest, The Big Picture of Child Trafficking, Mind Control Culture, which we put out not too long ago. It did get showed very quickly on YouTube, but somebody deleted a scene from it and seems to have a successful upload that has garnered about 4,200 views by now. There's another one, about 600 views, so that's good to see. And hopefully this information will have an impact and start to get people away from the paperclip Nazis talk about MK Ultra. That is the work that we do here at Renegade Broadcasting. We put things in real perspective. A lot of people were talking about white genocide before we came along, but we helped to popularize it, and we also helped to prove just how much Jews are committing white genocide. It's very, very obvious, and they say it in their own words. And long before Donald Trump was talking about illegal immigration, in 2014, I released The Illegal Invasion of America on July 4th, 2014. And that video now has about 630,000 views on YouTube. And that's one of the reasons I don't even upload to my Renegade Broadcasting account anymore, is that we have some videos up there with huge view counts, and I'd rather those just stay up there, and I'll keep my work, my new work, on servers that can't be easily showed. Because I'd hate to see that channel go down after all of the great success we've had with it. You can have a big impact, and the ripples are sometimes seen long down the line. Luke Rutkowski is apparently now an identitarian. He hangs out with some of those alt-right people, like the Pettibones and the Lauren Southerns. You can see him pictured with some of these people. But I saw he recently, on his We Are Change YouTube account, was talking to some guy who used to be an anti-fascist and is now an identitarian. And of course, painting him in a very favorable light. Oh, identitarianism. What a controlled opposition box for the most part. That term really does seem to be an indication that you're dealing with somebody who's likely in bed with the Jews somehow. Not in every single case, I'm just saying, please be wary of that term. It should throw up red flags for you. We have so many people who are speaking pro-white points of view, but they are really... Well, they're obvious in their agenda. Of course, pushing Trump, still to this day, shilling for the Zog Emperor, is one of the big roles that they fulfill. And we have so many people out there just falling right in line, whether or not they are controlled themselves or not. We are seeing the unfolding of idiocracy before our very eyes. This was what was happening, actually, for quite some time. George W. Bush acting like an idiot, playing the fool. Obama shucking and jiving out there with Ellen DeGeneres. But with Trump and the WWE-type entrance he had at the RNC, and, well, of course, his ties to the WWE, Vince McMahon, Linda McMahon, and Linda McMahon, now his small business administration woman. And he had all these WWE stars into the White House. The whole CNN debacle with, what was that guy, Han Asshole Solo. It was a wrestling meme. Just showing how fake it all is. Oh, look, Trump's taking down CNN, who is representing, whose body was actually Vince McMahon, who's his great friend behind the scenes. And you just do a search for Donald Trump, Jeff Zucker on your images, whatever your favorite image search is. And then find these two just very much friends behind the scenes. Oh, but that was before. That was then. This is now. Oh, really? Yeah, you can look up the articles as well. It was just the same as the photo of Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton with Trump and Melania at the wedding. All good buddies. And then they put on a show for the stupid, goddamn gullible goyim. The ones who sit in front of the TV and watch their wrestling. Whatever form it might take. New World Order. For life. Kid Rock looks like he could be a senator. Shock poll, looks like he's ahead for the Senate race. Ooh. That is so exciting because he is one of those shitlord conservatives. So fashy. So very cool. Yes, we have reality TV unfolding in front of our very eyes. We'll talk about the Survivor Apprentice type White House. After this short little break, I wanted to get this audio clip out of the way in case somebody actually wants to call in and lend a voice to the air. You know, if I don't even get a call in the first hour, I'm just shutting it down. Screw you guys. Seriously. Let's talk a little bit about idiocracy for just a second. You know, when people ask me, where do I get my protein? You know, if they learn that I'm not a meat eater like them, they'll say, where do you get your protein? It kind of reminds me of the Idiocracy scene about electrolytes. Yeah, so how much protein do you think you really need? Have you looked at those studies that show a big link between too much animal protein and cancer? So wait, why are you trying to push lots of animal protein on me? You're trying to give me cancer? But it's got protein. It's got electrolytes. Some of you might not be aware, but President Camacho did an Ask Me Anything, I think it was, live stream a few years ago. The actor who, the black guy who played the professional wrestler president, oh, by the way, of course, Trump is a WWE Hall of Fame member. President Camacho did this live stream and had some interesting comments about the, well, white people in the future. You might have heard this before, but if you hadn't, I'm going to play it here. Here we go.
Next question. Let's see. Wow. Camacho, without sounding like a homo, that's what my man's saying. What's up with all this climate change bullshit? Okay, you know what? Let me tell y'all something right now. I got to peep you up on game. This right here, this is a charity that's been very, very close to my heart. Seeing that I'm from the future and I've seen it all, and I see how the shit came out. Listen, y'all don't need to worry about climate change. What you need to worry about is we're running out of white people. We're running out. Let me tell you something. In about 500 years, y'all done went to bunkers. You done got on planes. You flew to different places. The white flight, there ain't nowhere else to go. You done hid out in the mountaintops. You went underground. Let me tell you something. There's a white people shortage that's going to happen. You white people been worrying so much about what's endangered, the spotted owls, the fucking deer and the last bit of rabbits that's running around, the jackrabbits. Can't let us shoot the coyotes. And y'all didn't realize your ass was endangered. Check it out right now. Look, you used to be blind. Family was blind. Now you're running around. The family look like Chico. Let me tell you something. It's all getting mixed together, player. We all one family. Come on out of hiding. Man, we got to save the white people. That's why I have a 5% stake in the Washington Whiteskins. That's right. We have reservations for white people. We kept them. We gave y'all casinos. This is happening in the future. We gave you casinos. You can get paid. And we want to see you survive. Because we're losing your language, the way you talk. Hey, how are you? We're losing it. Ain't no more of that. We're losing the white culture. People walking around all tight butt with the little suits on. We're losing it. Man. And I really miss the white women. But that's a whole nother story. What I'm trying to say is preserve yourself, white people. You're special. You mean a lot to Camacho. I'm serious. I'm getting choked up over this shit. Because I remember. I remember the last time I saw a whole white family walking around. It was rare, man. Come on out of hide. Come out the bunker. All right? Because let me tell you something. We coming in anyway. So I came back from the future to let you know that this shit is happening. You're running out of time. Stop worrying about the trees. You know, when they cut them down, you're going to be all right. All right? Stop worrying about the whales, because the whale's going to be good. Let me tell you something. This world ain't going nowhere. It's your ass you got to worry about. Next motherfucking question.
All right. I don't know what to exactly make of that. But I would love to throw that in the regularly scheduled programming on television. I'd love if that was just a commercial segment that would run. It's about 3.5 minutes. How long do commercials on TV last? Probably about that long. I have no idea. I haven't watched TV in a long, long time. Oh, look at Kyle. Oh, high and mighty. I don't pay for Jewish cable. You know, I have a television. Sometimes I hook the computer up to it. Maybe once every other week will we actually do that. I do watch some things on my laptop. However, it's usually educational. It's almost entirely educational, and most of what I'm doing is reviewing material for this cause. I wish there were more video makers out there. I wish there were better platforms for us. We need to work on that for sure. And still no callers. Well, looks like you might be getting an hour-long show roundtable tonight. That'll be fun. Be fun for me. I'll go to bed. Let's start talking about the new sheriff in town. Tony Scaramucci. The Mooch. Scaramucci. You know about Scaramouche? I'm going to read an article from the New Nationalist, but before I do that, let's take a look at who this Scaramouche character is. You've probably actually heard of Scaramouche already, seen Scaramouche. Let's check this little audio bit first. It'll load.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo, Galileo.
Scaramouche. You might have seen Scaramouche as one of the characters in Punch and Judy. Often gets his head punched off. This is a character from Italy. Let me read a little bit from the Wikipedia entry. Scaramuccia, literally little skirmisher, also known as Scaramouche or Scaramouche, is a stock clown character of the Italian comedy of art, comic theatrical arts. The role combined characteristics of the servant and the masked henchman. Usually attired in black Spanish dress and burlesquing a don. Burlesquing a don, like, you know, the don, mafia don Donald Trump. He was often beaten by Harlequin for his boasting and cowardice. Interesting. We'll talk about Scaramouche on the other side. Stay tuned, everyone.
Es wird still und er fängt an zu erzählen von der Zeit aus seiner Jugend und wie es damals war. Seine Gefährten leben längst nicht mehr, verstorben und verschollen. Und er erinnert sich an jeden Tag, als wenn es erst gestern war.
Tired of hearing all about Jews and their beloved Israel. This is America.
Hey, don't say that. Jews do so much for us and deserve our thanks.
Okay, so what do they do?
Although they are only 2% of the population, they are running our banks and overall monetary system, ensuring our children receive proper education and medication, entertaining us with TV, movies, magazines, and gossip, running some of our biggest corporations, including the big tech giants, weeding out awful hate speech, and promoting the rainbow of alternative lifestyles and gender identities, and funding the campaigns of our honorable and honest politicians.
Wow, they sure do a lot.
That's right. Don't be an anti-Semite. Let the chosen rulers of this world know you appreciate them.
Thanks, Jews!
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Round Table. I mentioned an article on the Tribune from the New Nationalist by Russ Winter, and he's talking about how Trumpian apologists are trying to explain away Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch, and what he has brought to the White House. Sean Spicer resigned because of him, and then we've also seen the Chief of Staff being forced to resign. And that would be Rince Priebus, the former head of the RNC, and he is replaced by General John Kelly. I think, to me, that indicates that we might be going into wartime mode in a big way. With the Mooch, I don't know what's necessarily going on with this guy. Well, let's consider some of his positions previously. He was very much against Trump during the primaries. He was against the border wall. He was very pro-gay. He was very pro-war. He is pro-gun control. He's a gun grabber. So, what's going on with Scaramucci coming in here? Scaramucci was very critical of many people, talking about Steve Bannon sucking his own cock. And he was going after these leakers. Nothing bad to say about Jared Kushner, Gary Cohn, and a bunch of other, you know, made men in there. Very interesting quotes from this guy, too. Talking about an old Italian saying, "The fish stinks from the head down, but I can tell you two fish that don't stink, okay?" He's talking about himself and Donald J. Trump, the Don. It's crazy. Russ Winter thinks that this is pretty much part of an orchestrated takedown of the country, and this guy is kind of playing a clown role. And that we're seeing the end game of a multi-generation national demolition project. Trump's the overseer. Very interesting times. There's a lot going on otherwise around the world. North Korea and the rest. Russia. Russia. Oh, so much of it. We can jump over to the phone lines and we'll take the first call from Bill, who I haven't heard from for a while. It's good to have you back, Bill. Welcome.
Thank you, Kyle. Yeah, it's been a little while.
What has been going on with you? And if you don't want to mention any of that, you know, what are your thoughts about anything discussed thus far, or where we can go from here?
For me, thus far, not much, but some of my beliefs have landed me in a little bit of, not necessarily hot water, but some family members of mine do not necessarily like or appreciate my views, and I've been told to kind of keep my distance from them. So that's all I have to say on my end.
I have a similar situation, not with everybody, but I was once actually a pretty well-liked person, but not so much anymore. Kind of a pariah for telling the truth as I see it. It's very disappointing. I'm actually very tolerant in that I'm willing to talk to and be around other people who do not share my viewpoints. Perhaps I would like to convince them of them, but some of these people just don't seem very tolerant of people like myself who are against genocide. It's very, very disappointing in these people. You'd expect better of them, I'd say.
I agree. I mean, it's a strange paradox, isn't it? That a person like myself, I consider myself quite tolerant, as I'm sure you do too. I've never hated on anyone for who they are or the way they are. I generally try to treat everyone like an individual, and try to treat them on a personal basis. But to some people, they think that because I am proud of our people, I'm proud of my blood, I am proud of my heritage and our achievements, and because I like to point out some differences among other groups of people, and because I try to look at things scientifically, I try to examine biological differences, and I like to point out certain norms and trends within different groups. Some people, you know, like I've pointed out in some of my videos, some of the presentations I've made for your network, where I've talked about the racial differences between Negroes and Caucasians. But, you know, some people just find it offensive, and even though that I'm a polite person and I don't shout anyone down, and I've most certainly never coughed an attitude towards anyone who wasn't white, I guess, you know, I make people uncomfortable, apparently. Well, even though I'm smile, I'm generally polite, you know, hey, you're looking at the face of a hater.
Well, the media has really done wonders, and the educational system, the whole thing, in making the white racist far, far worse in everyone's eyes than the rapist or even the murderer. They'll have sympathy and compassion on them. Oh, we need to go sit by them in jail and pray for them and this and that. But you, as a white person who objects to the genocide of your people, no, you are the worst thing in the world. You are, as Susan Sontag, that wonderful Jewess, said, the cancer of history.
Right. And many other, I can't recall.
Or cancer of humanity, something like that. You know, there's so many different quotes about this. You can show these people the hateful, bigoted quotes from the Jewish supremacists, and that will just further confirm to them that you're an evil Nazi for pointing this out.
Right. Well, the only people that are capable of creating conspiracies is the Aryan race. The white people, it seems to me that we're the only ones capable of doing such a thing. It's some of my skeptical friends, I'm doing that in air quotes, they like to think that they generally act as if conspiracies don't exist. It's never happened before. However, they may agree that Adolf Hitler conspired to kill 6 bajillion Jews. However, if you try to give a counter narrative and say that I think Jews conspired against Germany, and you know, if you try to push any bit grander, the grander it gets, the harder it is for them to believe. But if you try to say I think Jews conspire against the white race in mass, now that's impossible. That can never happen. No, it's just it's a crazy hypocrisy we find ourselves in. It is frustrating, to say the least.
Yeah, it really is. And the frustrating thing is seeing a lot of people start waking up to some of these basic points about the double standards, the hypocrisy, and then seeing them get herded right into the controlled opposition that is waiting there with open arms, who are starting to really talk about these issues. They have become normalized, but the thing is that they are compromised on the very key, crucial issues that are really essential for the salvation of our people.
Right, and in that respect, which you mentioned, the false opposition, another frustrating area becomes the good Jew. I mean, I believe it is appropriate to use Jews like Benjamin Friedman. I think he is very appropriate to use if you're trying to introduce concepts to people like Jewish supremacy to your friends. If they're not introduced to this, and we've been conditioned to believe that it's impossible. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how it happens, but it happens. This conditioning process occurs at some time in our education, where if you try to say anything negative towards a Jew, there's that gag reflex where people just want to react. It's just, oh no, that can't be. You're a hater. You're an anti-Semite. Like I said, I don't know when it happens, but there's a time when it occurs.
You can't even identify somebody as a Jew. unless you're doing so to praise them, and you likely are yourself Jewish. But you could say, oh yeah, that guy we're talking about, he's from Germany, or he's a German, or yeah, he's a Japanese guy. But when you say, yeah, he's a Jewish guy, it's like a slur word. How awful is that for these people, that their identity is actually a slur word? That's pretty bad.
It's an amazing defense, isn't it?
It is an amazing defense, but that should be embarrassing to you, that you are offended at getting called what you are.
Yeah, I agree. Was it? I think it was Goebbels, if I'm not mistaken, where he mentioned you can call a Jew a crook, a thief, a criminal, a usurper, and whatnot, but if you call the Jew a Jew, then he gets angry.
Yes.
I think it was Goebbels who said something in regards, and when I read that, I was like, that is so true. Absolutely true.
You know, I'd like to make a distinction. We were talking about tolerance before, and I think that there is a time and place for tolerance of people and things that are, well, different than ourselves. This was seen, exemplified, in the Waffen-SS. However, the National Socialists, in many regards, were very, they weren't tolerant. They were intolerant. They were bigoted and prejudiced. That is very much the case. So tolerance is definitely one of the last virtues of a dying society, or whatever that quote is. There are a few good ones on this. It is no virtue actually at all, because tolerating something means that you don't like it, yet you're allowing it to stay around you unchecked.
Yes, you're allowing the parasites, the ticks, the fleas. You'll tolerate everything because you effectively are removing any form of standards from it. It's an interesting thing with word sorcery that in many concepts are like a double-edged sword. Oh, tolerance sounds great, but that also means that you will tolerate a bunch of garbage too. You know, yeah. I don't know. I mean, if you're willing to, maybe you can tolerate fecal matter in your water supply.
You can tolerate sick Jewish child rapists running your media and indoctrinating your children at every turn with their filth. That's very tolerant of you. It's tolerant of you to allow for trannies, for drag queens, to do story hours with young, impressionable children. It's very tolerant of you. Right?
Exactly. That's the level of tolerance that people don't really understand, or that's the concept of tolerance has been, well, I think the concept of many things have been perverted, but you know, it's like I said, these words, many words have dual meanings, and most people have been hopelessly convinced that it means something very specific.
Well, tolerance is often used in reference to addiction, right? Mm-hmm. So you become more tolerant of a substance. So you have to have, you get more of it, and you barely even notice it anymore, even though you're using the same dosage that was getting you knocked off your socks a couple weeks ago. That's just now getting you up to the normal point. So tolerance is something that really leads to some pretty bad places.
It definitely can be, like, you know, like a caffeine tolerance, or, as you mentioned, just a tolerance to anything, tolerance to opiates. It's kind of a popular thing in the circulating in the news today.
I actually think that might be our next documentary. I started working on the script today. It's going to be an hour-long documentary, and it's going to go over, well, how it's targeting white people directly, how the depression, which is financially caused, is also a psychological depression specifically targeted at white people who are affected because of, well, affirmative action, but also the anti-white programming of the media, and how this is all just a giant conspiracy where the United States invaded Afghanistan right after the Taliban banned opium, banned the production of poppy, the growing of poppy, and it went drastically down. The New York Times even reported on how effective the ban had been. This was in May of 2001. We know what happened later with the September 11th attacks and then the subsequent invasion, and then the Afghanistan production of poppy just skyrocketed. In a few years, it had quadrupled and now accounts for over 90% of the world's opium supply. Isn't that interesting? And, well, a lot of it was coming in through Mexico because our borders have been so very porous. This is an attack against us, and this isn't the first time that these Jews have done this. They did it in India, China, and other parts of Asia. They controlled the entire trade. They used the British Yiddish Empire and the Sassoon family. Everybody can look this up. They had a monopoly on the market, and they were pouring opium down the throats of these people. This was absolutely devastating. And why they did this was for social control and to subdue any resistance, making resistance futile. This is an old scheme.
It is. No, I'm sure it's as old as the Torah itself. But the Sassoon family, for all of you that are not too familiar, were a family of Iraqi Jews. I believe they were Iraqi Jews.
I think it was Baghdadi, Iran, where he was born.
Baghdadi, Iran.
Yeah, it was definitely in Baghdadi, and I think it was Iran. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I could be wrong. I'm going to look this up further, of course. I probably was wrong.
Baghdadi sounds right to me. I thought they were Iraqi, but Baghdadi rings a bell. But they were a family that got into the drug trade, and they were using the British trade system to ship out their goods into China, and they had a base in India where they were, I think, manufacturing these things. I believe they were using this drug money to build up synagogues. I wouldn't be surprised if they're using the synagogues to hold and store their drugs. And eventually the Sassoon family married into the Rothschild family. I don't have specific dates, but I'm absolutely certain that I read correctly that they married in with Rothschilds.
They were considered the Rothschilds of the East.
Yes, they were very wealthy. I think at one time the Sassoon family were thought of, or they were, the wealthiest family on the planet.
Well, if you have a monopoly over all the opium in just China, that's pretty damn lucrative.
Right, and how many Westerners, how many Americans can you come up to and say, who are the Sassoons? I guarantee you very few people would even know who they are. And that surprised me because I didn't really know about this stuff. I mean, I heard about, I think in elementary school is really when I just learned about China, because I don't think I really learned a whole lot in high school.
I remember the Opium Wars. I didn't realize the implications of what they were doing. And I definitely didn't read about this Jew and his sons who dominated the market.
Yes, and manipulated the British into fighting the Chinese, at least in two opium wars. I think it was two major conflicts that I think the Sassoons were definitely involved in.
Yeah,
but it's
the Chinese began to tolerate opium after that, didn't they?
Yeah, you can say they definitely started to tolerate that opium, and it destroyed the Chinese. Kingdom? I don't know what you would call it exactly. I don't think you could call it an empire. Maybe it was
dynasty. It might have been a dynasty. Maybe the dynasties were earlier. What was that at that point? I'm going to have to look into that.
I don't know. Kingdom?
But it was definitely more traditional. It was actually Chinese culture. Today, they don't have any of that. Communism wiped out the last vestiges of the Chinese identity.
Yeah, the Cultural Revolution that slaughtered tens of millions. I don't want to overshoot it, but it was a lot. Tens of millions at least.
And that was the best people in China, pretty much. And
I'm sure it was.
A lot of the people who are left, especially in the higher positions, are cold-hearted, heartless bastards, really. And even the people in the streets, the ones who boil dogs and cats alive because they think it tastes better that way. Their disregard for human life is pretty astonishing. Now, I don't mean to give the Westerners a pass on this. We're very sadistic and disgusting now as well. But oftentimes, people like to keep a safe distance from that because they can't really stomach the suffering of others up close and personal. They'd rather have a few screens between them and that, whether it's just through the food that they eat or what they're seeing on TV about the slaughtering of innocent people in other countries using their tax dollars and using their flag to do it.
Yeah, the slaughtering other people in these endless wars, and that's what they are. They're going to be endless people. They're never going to end. There'll always be a new enemy. But I do think that this war, this conflict in the Middle East, will probably be the war that will do us in for good.
We certainly have tolerated war here in the United States. There was a pretty big opposition to it for quite some time. But you know what? As they kept pushing it, well, we began to tolerate it.
Yeah, we did. And Kyle, you were talking about this, the conflicts and how we're in turbulent times. I believe, if I saw that headline correctly, there was an incident with Iran today where an American vessel fired warning shots at an Iranian battle warship of some kind in the I don't remember where it was exactly. I'll just say off the coast of Iran.
Okay. Yes.
I think that happened today.
Yeah. Well, just imagine if we had another country coming to our shores and firing shots at us. I mean, the hubris, the chutzpah, I guess would be more appropriate, of the United States, the double standards, the hypocrisy, absolutely absurd. And these patriotards, and this includes the Trump-tards, they don't want to ever confront this.
No. And, I mean, everyone's so, at least some people are still happy about Donald Trump, even though I personally think that since the selection of Donald Trump, all I see is that escalations and aggression towards North Korea and Iran. I think China's kind of dropped off a little bit. I don't know what these people are thinking. I don't know what our handlers are thinking of, but definitely I think Trump's rhetoric towards North Korea has been really weird. I think our reactions toward Iran have been very strange.
What do you think about my theory that bringing in General John Kelly is a signal that we're going to war in a bigger way very soon?
I definitely think that, first off, Donald Trump has, how many generals does he have by his side right now? Three? Four?
He's got quite a few. He's got quite a few Jews as well. That picture that he had where he was surrounded by people around that table facing the same direction when Barack Obama, was this the Bin Laden raid, I think? When everybody was pictured sitting around looking off at the monitor. Well, the Trump team did that, and a vast majority of the people around that table were Jews. I think some people are making a stink. Oh, look at all the white people there. And that's one of the big games that the alt-right and a lot of alternative media want to play as well. Blaming Jewish crimes on the white guy. That's one of the big things that I think Trump is put in there to do, is blame Jewish crimes on the white guy. White supremacy. And just real quick, there was this instance this week where these college employees were fired because they were emulating NWA for some kind of wrap it up type thing with involving raps. Regardless, they were fired because that's very culturally insensitive, but people can emulate white culture all they want, of course. But this one of these writers on one of these alt media platforms had written about how, actually white people have been involved in the rap music industry or hip hop for quite some time, and then pointed to Rick Rubin and the Beastie Boys as examples of white people who had been involved with hip hop. And of course, Rick Rubin and the Beastie Boys, Jew. And this is just one of those games that is going to keep getting played. My response to that was, of course, the rap video or rap song that these Jews were trying to teach to these young Jewish children about how, how fly they are. And they were great back in high school. I forget what the lyrics go like, but I'm not white, I'm Jewish. I'm not white, I'm Jewish. So to their own, they're really trying to instill this sense of the Jewish tribalism. They need that. But around white people, hey, you know, what are you talking about? Us Jews are white. And that's especially the case within controlled op white nationalism a la Jared Taylor.
Well, it's very difficult for a lot of ignorant goy to catch on to that, to Jewish tribalism, because if you're any bit knowledgeable, you would understand that in the Torah and the Talmud specifically, you really see that they believe themselves a master race, a superior race. They're chosen by God. You don't need their testimonies to know that they believe themselves a race of people, a superior race, a divinely race. But, you know, to those caliber of people, they need to hear it from the horse's mouth. They need to hear the Jews say that they believe themselves a race of people, or that they are non-white. I don't know. But
now, what about this? Jews do have, I mean, Jews are partially white. I would say yeah, that. I mean, you look at their phenotype. Some of them look more quote unquote Aryan. Some of them, especially some people in Israel, than people who would be classified as white by white nationalists. So I understand the argument of they look white to me. However, they are not, and they have genetic markers. They have interbred with whites for quite some time. That is very that's obvious. I really see them as this kind of criminal gang, these outcasts that got together a long time ago and formed this conspiracy. And a lot of it has to do with interbreeding, inbreeding, incest, but also quite a bit of outbreeding so they can infiltrate the other nations of the world. They have agents all over. I really don't think a lot of people out there with a basic understanding of, well, the conspiracy really understand how this Jewish criminal organization operates and how far back this goes. They seem to kind of dismiss it as, oh, it's just one of those things, you know, the Zionists, the Vatican Bank, you know, the Jesuits, you know, a bunch of, you know, the aliens, you know, oh, the Jews did. No, this is something that's very, very real and is well, well documented if you only so much as look. But you've got to be willing to accept that this is a plan that was laid down a long time ago and that they have a lot of people out there acting as agents, who are actually crypto-Jews. Okay, second hour coming up. Bill and other callers. Stay tuned. Almost nothing about South Africa in Western schools, other than that there was an evil apartheid government of white racists who oppressed everyone until the great Saint Nelson Mandela came along. Now you can learn the real history of exploration, conflict, concentration camps for the Boers, Jewish-funded black terrorism, Winnie Mandela and her necklacing, rampant murder and rape under the ANC, the so-called squatter camps, how the Rainbow Nation is a blueprint for what's to come for whites worldwide, and so much more. Between Heaven and Hell, The True Story of Whites in South Africa by Sinead McCarthy. Free to watch at whitesouthafrica.com.
You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Welcome back to the roundtable. Before the break, I was talking about crypto Jews. One of the big things that allowed for crypto Jews to really become a big thing in the European world was, well, actually Christianity, which Karl Marx said was the opiate of the people. Often that is missaid, opiate of the masses. In any event, that's why we have Murano Jews, the reason you've got the Conversos, because if they just accepted Jesus Christ, they were brothers in Christ, there's no Jew or Gentile, and no male or female in Jesus Christ. All right, I'd like to bring on a new caller here before we get back to Bill. Welcome from Virginia. Who's this?
This is Tony in Northern Virginia.
Tony.
Am I coming through?
Yes, you are. Welcome. What's up?
Oh, awesome. Wow. You got a great show so far, and you guys have covered a lot of the stuff I knew, but it was a great refresher with the Sasan, and that first clip was incredible. I don't know if that's a joke or serious, but I'd like to put that on my phone and show that to white people. But the most important thing that stuck in my mind when you were talking about Jared Taylor and the Jews, and the tool that I try to use and how I try to wake white people up to the fact that they're not white and they're not one of us, is that they have their own in-group and you're part of their out-group, and you've got to see that. Okay, this is suicide to think that they belong in your in-group when you're in their out-group. And I just don't see how a man like Jared Taylor, of his intellect, cannot see that. You have to question whether he's a shill, and especially when you're talking about a group that works, is the most dangerous and works so actively against our interests. How can you possibly, and Jared Taylor, I don't care how much he kisses up to them, he is never going to be in their in-group. He will always be in their out-group, yet he welcomes them into his in-group. I mean, Puck is the first thing that comes to mind.
Well, that is what the WASP elite did. They cucked themselves for some shekels, then they lost it all. In my opinion, some of them are still doing well. But it's they made a deal with the devil there. It's the way I see it. Bill, what do you think about that?
I think someone like Jared Taylor, I'm going to assume that it's probably because going against the Jew is so difficult, is so challenging, and pretty much it's just suicide. And I think there are too many people that in order to get by, you just have to let it slide. And I think, yeah, sucking up to them, I think that it's just what happens. It sucks, and I don't like it when people do it, but
you know who is, you know who is one of the people to actually get the Jews finally completely embedded into the WASP establishment? That was Trump with Mar-a-Lago, right? With I think it was allowing, probably some Jews had been accepted, but when he took control, it was, you know, he was made sure to bring in all sorts of Jews and other races, and totally kind of cucking the whole rich white man elite culture. Not that I actually like that culture, I'm just saying that was pretty symbolic there, and I think that's what he represents, is the merging of the WASP elite with the Jewish elite. And who do you think is going to come out on top on that one? I think we've already seen with Trump in at the Wailing Wall who the real boss is here.
And Great Britain.
Yeah.
And the Fed and the IMF and the Rothschilds.
Yeah. It's like the Borg. They're all part of this. This is an international mafia. And they play good guy, bad guy now and again. Ooh, the U.S. versus Russia. You even saw this playing out in the WWE with this character. Lana was the girlfriend of this. What was the guy's name? Rushkoff or something like that. Rusev, I think maybe that was his name. I didn't actually watch any of this, but I'm aware of that angle. That they have the evil Russian conspirators in the WWE. They're the bad guys. It's all just a damn show. But that doesn't mean that in this theater of war, a whole lot of the goyim might not lose their lives. Yeah, I think they might have that planned for us, but could always upset things here with what we do here and now. Something I wanted to bring up was actually this guy, James Mason. He wrote the book Siege. Actually, it was a collection of newsletters, which he released as a collection. A lot of people have looked to this. There's now a big trend going on, some people promoting siege culture, because James Mason has made a comeback of sorts. He's out there writing again. He disappeared for a while, and he's associated, I think, with the Adam Waffen Division, which had a bunch of Muslim members and had that incident where one of the Muslim members killed two white guys, and, you know, actually he's a white Muslim, killed these two comrades, and then there was somebody who was caught with nuclear or radioactive material. It's kind of strange that now you got James Mason coming out associated with Adam Waffen, which in itself is referencing nuclear war. So that's interesting. I actually have not read Siege, but even if that was good, you have to be a little bit suspicious of somebody like James Mason reemerging all of these years later and associating himself with Adam Waffen. I did read one of his pieces about Trump, and it seemed like he was pretty Trump-tarded, to be honest. Still somewhat Trump-tarded. I don't know if either of you are aware of James Mason or would like to comment on any of this. So let's go to Bill first.
I know nothing about this guy. I've never heard his name, and I'm not familiar with his books.
Yeah, it's he's somebody that was around quite some time ago in the 80s. I think he might have disappeared, gone off the scene in 86. So this is one of those kind of old-time, old-guard people.
I can see that there's a lot of swastikas. Was this guy a National Socialist or something?
Yes.
Or he claimed to have been one?
Yes. Let me actually read something from his Trump piece here and get your thoughts on this. Secondary to the hints of genuine nationalism that we were getting from Trump was the very literal and real outrage being spewed forth by the liberal and communist media and establishment against Trump. How does he know it's very literal and real? That's interesting. He's able to discern whether or not their outrage is real or faked. I'm pretty sure they're all actors. It's all Mockingbird media. But I guess he doesn't realize that. He said that wasn't faked. It was funny to watch the low-down and dirty attacks upon him by the media, which he rightly declared to be the worst enemy of the American people, were breathtaking. The attacks upon him from within the Republican Party itself were equally telling. A blind person could have seen that the people were responding to his message of nationalism. To attack him was to attack them. What are any of them doing unless striving to represent the will of the people? I'm actually going to go up to the beginning of this article right now, make another point. These days I'm finding myself needing and wanting to break free of the habit of watching the evening news on television. This bothers me about myself because I never used to do it.
never that was until about a year ago when having coffee with friends, the subject of Donald Trump came up in connection with the then hotly contested presidential primary. So he got really intrigued by Trump and started watching TV each night, allowing the Jewish media full access to his mind. Wow, that is ridiculous to allow them that kind of access. So maybe he's genuine and he really did get Trump-tarded. And let me actually read just one more quote here. But many took heart at the Trump win. Admittedly, I myself feel better, just on an average day-to-day basis. It's wonderful. Sort of like the way nostalgia works. It was so very much better than it is at present. Like the cancer sufferer a year or two ago, he still had the disease, but then it hadn't yet advanced so far. So he thinks it's wonderful. I mean, it's great. I just feel so relieved. This is pretty pathetic, in my opinion, but it's actually not uncommon. I'd say that this is the norm. Tony, have you noticed this yourself? Is this the way most people seem that are, you know, out there in the pro-white or alternative media? Do they feel a relief that this is a good thing? What do you think about this?
What, I didn't catch the last part about the guy having cancer.
Oh, what
did you say? I'm sorry.
No, that's kind of irrelevant. He was making a comparison then to having it be like nostalgia. Basically, the cancer hadn't yet, like going back to the Reagan days, the cancer was there, but it hadn't advanced that far. So that's what he sees in Trump, is that, you know, think it's like looking back on the days when we weren't so very much infested, if you will, by the politics sucking our blood. Poly meaning
well,
many.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think we're way behind the curve, and I don't see the urgency among whites. And what fascinated me about, I'm sorry if I'm steering in the different direction, that first clip that you played was that, okay, I live in an area where I'm already a minority, okay? So you guys got to keep that in mind out there, okay? I have to talk to all these other people because I'm surrounded by them. And when politics, immigration, this type of thing comes up, and what fascinated me about that clip is, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people of color, including Hispanics and blacks and everything, and they get it. And when I start showing them, you know, no, we're look at what's going on in Europe, particularly when I can get them to look across the pond, as they say, because, you know, we've been taught, you know, that we're a nation of immigrants and all that, which is a bunch of crap. Everybody immigrated somewhere in history. This is like pulling a game of musical chairs and deciding at the last minute wherever white people landed, you know, that's for everybody. We're not a nation of immigrants. I'm not an immigrant. Matter of fact, I tell people that. I tell people of color that. I tell immigrants that. I said, no, you're an immigrant. I'm not an immigrant. I was born here. My ancestors were immigrants. And particularly with the Spanish people, I like to remind them that the natives in South America didn't speak Spanish. You know, you guys came over here just like we did. You're not any more entitled. But I'm sorry. I'm getting off because I can't.
That's all right.
Sorry for getting off, steering the subject in another direction.
Well, before we get to the
author that you had mentioned earlier.
Yeah, no problem. Before we get too much further in a different direction, I wanted to throw it back to Bill to see if he had any comments on just the Trump-tarded nature of the person I was reading from. Now, if you were to read the whole thing in some context, yeah, he does say some more critical things, acknowledges that the guy's surrounded by Jews. But I actually can't really understand this mindset. I mean, I can understand it objectively, but I myself could not. What is it? What is it? Is this hopium? People are really smoking hopium. How does this work? How is the mental gymnastics able to? I mean, how are they able?
Oh, you're
to
talking
do this?
About this Trump. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Bill.
Okay. I think it is the hopium now. Because I live in Cuxifornia, where you know, I too am a minority in most of California. There are a lot of mestizos, Aztecans, and plenty of other non-whites, and most white people. And this is just from me, just from what I can see, and I'm not over-exaggerating, most white people have Asian girlfriends. Like, that's not an exaggeration. I mean, it's literally everywhere. It's just every single white guy I see has an Asian girlfriend.
I've seen a lot now, of it. Yeah. Especially when I was out there.
Right. And now this will divert the conversation, but it'll be quick. But I do find it strange, though, that in China, they hate women because they only want men. And so adoption agencies will get Chinese girls into America. And one cousin, I guess he was technically be an uncle of mine that through marriage, but I mean, so he adopted three Chinese girls, right? So from what I see, the West Coast, we're getting flooded by all these unwanted Chinese girls from China, and I see a lot of men just kind of dating them and getting married to them and whatnot. But back to the point, I guess. There aren't really a lot of what I would call white nationalist people here. I'm pretty much just an island, and I keep most of my thoughts to myself, more or less. So I can't say for certain, but my experience, and at least from what little I know of, I think a lot of people are on hopium. I think the people that are kind of slightly aware of it, aware of the situation, I think they see Donald Trump and they want to see what they want to see. They want to think that this guy is the great white hope and that he's going to make everything all better. But also I think a lot of them are unfortunately just kind of dumb. I think a lot of people are just kind of, if you fall into that, if you kind of see that there's a problem, but if you're sticking with the mainstream media and then you witness that, oh, the media seems to be against Trump. And I know some people that were like that. They were just like, oh, wow, everyone's against Trump. The Republicans were against him. The Democrats were against him. The media. But yet he won. Where I'm just seeing a stage act. I'm seeing theater where, to me, it looks like Trump was supposed to win the whole time. But
that's what I said before he was even – before there's even one primary.
Right, he was going to win. Some thought a little bit foolish, but I predicted Trump would win just because I saw the Simpsons thought he would win in similar circumstances. And just because of that, I said, I think Trump will win. How could he lose?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't suppose there really is a good answer to it, but I would say I think people are desperately searching for something.
Yeah, they need for there to be some kind of hope. A god from the machine is going to come and save them. Yeah, right.
I think that type of meme was probably seeded early on through Christianity. You know, you got this waiting for Jesus or something, that there will be some sort of salvation figure. And I think that type of meme or archetype sticks within a certain number of people. And I think that creates that element of taught self-helplessness. And so instead of Jesus, maybe it'll be Trump. Maybe it'll be a politician. Or something like that.
Yep. Yeah, that's...
Cultural Christianity, friends.
it's getting bad, and it's really looking quite obvious to me that you had to have the Barack Obama, who was seemingly anti-police, right? And, with the Black Lives Matter, to then have this swing to Trump being this champion of police. When I was at the gym, I saw him in his blue blazer matching perfectly with all of the police that were behind him, and he was just being so effusive in his praise for all of the heroic things that the police do all of the time. He has rolled out an incredible police state here, and he's endorsed wholeheartedly civil asset forfeiture, in which police can just take your money. You can be found not guilty of any crime, and then you have to go and initiate the process to prove yourself innocent to try to get your money back. Because, it could have been used in some crimes. So they had to take that and split it amongst themselves. Basically, the United States government is becoming more obvious in its nature as an organized crime entity. And Don is definitely... has come in and reorganized as the new boss here. But really, I think that above him, you still have the hand on the marionette strings.
Here's an odd one for you in regards to the whole police state. I mean, during the Obama administration, or the, yeah, sure, we'll just call it Obama administration, there were a lot of very questionable false flags that I believe were meant to be acknowledged as false flags. I think they lay down these breadcrumbs for a certain percentage of the population to see. I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't think they're botching it. I think they do this intentionally. And I think to a certain number of people, they thought it was, there's been this weird narrative crafted that it's Obama in some sort of mythical deep state that is controlled by the Obama administration. But now since Trump has been in, there's been a lot less false flags. And now, boom, somehow Trump is being attributed as the person who stopped it, or that it's being blamed on Obama. But like you mentioned, in a strange way, it's swinging back. It's the swing of the pendulum into a new extreme. And I think that might cause people to be a little bit blind to the police state, because now there's not these false flag events that are occurring that are, showing the police state running around, but now they could be strengthening them in a way that we may be less aware of.
And interestingly, they took a complete hands-off approach to the left versus right street riots that were happening not too long ago. The Battle of Berkeley, 1, 2, 3, 4, however many there were, and all of the different Confederate monuments. There has at times been a strong police presence, but especially in California, they just will stand back and let them beat each other. But some of it really just seems like theatrics. And you have the different WWE-like characters, like Based Stick Man and the idiots in the helmets running around. But it's interesting that the police state pulled itself back and allowed for kind of a purge-like American Gladiators scenario. Mad Max. Maybe that's going to be part of it. It's just, consolidate forces, and if you guys want to go out there and call each other, then go right ahead.
Yeah, hey, this is going to divert a little bit, but maybe I just want to catch your opinion on this. So I've seen that some people during the Clinton administration, there was a lockdown on logging that certain forests within the United States could not have their forests cut down, and thusly America had to import more wood from Canada. And I remember that there was some hype about Donald Trump and how he would allow for more logging in the United States and give back American jobs to small towns, or at least that's what some people are saying, so that we wouldn't be reliant on Canadian wood or the Canadian timber. And I've seen some people think that somehow Donald Trump has magically defeated Agenda 21 or something like that, because now this will strengthen small communities because they'll be able to harvest lumber in small rural towns, that he's returning the economy to the rural peoples, and maybe that this will not play exactly into moving everyone to big cities or something. Have you heard about something like that?
No, not really, to be honest, but I haven't seen jobs quickly returning to America like promised. Actually, things seem like they could get pretty bad pretty quickly, and that Donald might definitely be in there to oversee the destruction and, well, the chop shop of America.
Well, I guess what my thought is that, from what I can see, it looks like in the conspiratorial realm, Trump has somehow is being championed as this guy who is going to defeat the New World Order in some respect. Like I said, everyone's been barking about how there's a lot less immigrants running into the United States because of this hypothetical wall that may or may not ever be built. And how now Agenda 21's been defeated because somehow Trump and the logging industry will end it, and that there's that people aren't rioting in the streets.
That would be awesome.
False flags have cut down because something it's Trump's doing behind the scenes.
I love how that's something that's great. That basically we'll deforest ourselves, and that will mean that we won. Go America, and we'll make sure to have lots more cattle and all that open space. So that we might further poison our rivers and give more
you know, like hamburgers to the American people. More cheeseburgers from McDonald's, and we'll MAGA. As long if we get rid of those trees, we'll MAGA. I understand Agenda 21, its nefarious purposes, but to have a complete disregard for the impact of, let's say, deforestation, I mean, that's just complete oversight that our future generations would curse us for.
Right. I absolutely agree, because I'm not into excess industry. I believe that we should function within our means, and I think if I was dictator, because I imagine that would be the only way it could get anything done, is that if I was dictator of the United States, I would only do for us. I don't care about the other people of the world. I'm not concerned about what they have to go through. I want to see American forests and American timber for Americans, and I don't want to see the excess removal of things from our lands and our resources to help other people, more or less.
There's starving Jews in Israel.
I know. There's starving Jews in Russia, I think. I think that's where the commercials I saw is like, please send us money, gives us money so we can gives these poor Jews in Eastern Europe food because they need help.
Yeah, honestly, if we just had these parasites off our backs in so many different levels, our wealth is being bled all around the world to fertilize the third world so that they might then send their hordes into our lands. But definitely it's going to Israel as well. If we just didn't have that going on, we could have a system, a society where you wouldn't have to work yourself to the bone. You wouldn't have to destroy the environment around you in order to make a few shekels and continue on until you need the next paycheck. I mean, it's a broken system we're being parasited off of. And we have so many different solutions that could be implemented where we would start to literally be sustainable. And not just use it as a buzzword.
Right, as a good marketing strategy. Hey, we support sustainability. I mean, but these people...
Yeah, we're going to a break.
Break time.
Last half hour, coming up. Rushkoff on why Jews are dangerous.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real. And that's very upsetting to people.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Last half hour here. Bill, do you want to finish your thought?
I actually forgot what I was going to say.
All right, maybe we should throw it back to Tony then. He's been on for a while not saying anything. Tony.
Oh, a couple of things. That last song during the intermission, you got to put a link for that. Is that German?
Yeah, it's a Waffen SS something choir. You can just search for Waffen SS choir and you'll probably find that one.
Yeah, it's badass, man. I mean, I feel like it makes you want to be a German when you listen to that. Like, you just see yourself with the jack boots and everything and taking on communists and throwing them out of helicopters.
Yeah, I've never really wanted to be a neo-Nazi myself. Sorry. I was just going to say, I never really wanted to be a neo-Nazi, but the idea of being an actual national socialist, that always seemed a little more appealing to me.
Well, the camaraderie. We don't have that.
Yeah.
We do not have that camaraderie. If we had that, what you could do with the minority, yes, if you had that camaraderie. If they've been breeding it out of us and indoctrinating us, through Christianity, I'm sorry for those of you that believe in it, and we've been indoctrinated to believe that everybody belongs in our in-group and it's okay for us to be in their out-group. But on the Trump thing, okay, in the hopium, I totally agree with you, and I even agree with, I forget, Bill, I believe, where he said that he was set to win. And I mean, really, I think it's more incredible that he won the Republican primary than that he beat Hillary. I mean, look at what they put. I mean, Hillary was a horrible... So, I got to agree with that. I think that was, it was inevitable. And the powers that be knew that. And I also think it's ironic when you're talking about this police state that Alex Jones, who's supposed to be some great prepper, you know, with his Berkey fillers, and he's supposed to be some watchdog for tyranny and the New World Order and all that. And if the police state actually comes through Trump and he actively campaigned for him, I mean, excuse me.
Yeah, I just honestly, I think that if people watch the TV, they fall under the spell and they will polarize one way or the other. You have to choose red or blue. You have to. There's no other option. You've got to choose Pepsi or Coke in the cola wars. You got to drink one, whether it's diet or not. You know, it's.
Hey, always go for the. Libertarian ask, they're never going to win.
Did you see what Pepsi said about cola? Go ahead. Yeah, the
libertarian. The whole idea of libertarianism, you can't get there from here. Yeah, I think it's great. I like that guy Lark in Texas or something that Nick had on. And I think eventually, through eugenics, through good breeding and intelligent people that are more self-sufficient, that don't need big government, which is what the globalist communists, which was started by the Jews, and that's how, that's why, use other words, anything but Jews started this shit, but they did. And you never taught that. You go through your whole, anyway, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I think that we cannot win this through just disengaging completely. I think we need to take the whole of the United States. That's why I think it's a bad move to just try to, well, to start off with a position of, we just want a little section over here for ourselves. No, we should get the whole thing. That would be the domino that needs to fall and that everything else would fall into place. Because the United States is the country that has all of these weapons, that has its jackboot on the throat of, well, every single country out there, pretty much, in many regards, and is the instrument of world Zionist control, world Jewish domination through the United States, acting as the attack dog. So if we were to get the United States and actually all of the spying power, access to all of the records that have been swept up by the NSA, the CIA, and other alphabet agencies, well, we could quickly identify and eliminate all traitors and all threats to our well-being. So I advocate for, well, taking this thing whole. And if we did, I can actually guarantee you that our administration would be wildly more popular than Congress today. What is it? Is it still an 8, 10% approval rating? It's disgusting. We could, if you could actually produce for your people like the National Socialists did, and you can, it's not hard.
if you can get them working together to build a better country, you know, to get them actually happy again, getting away from the depression, getting them into some strength through joy type of programs, the opioid epidemic, it would go away. You stop fighting these wars to secure the supply, it goes away. Deal with the vampires. Let's shine some real serious light on them. Let's decimate them. And then things will be healthy again. Unless you deal with that issue, though, you're going to be just swatting some symptoms. You might kill a few flies, but you're not going to get to the root of the problem, which is you're living in the swamp. Okay, so that's the way I see it. And everything else...
Here's a question I have ahead. I'd like to pose to you. Do you think economics could, like just getting rid of the Federal Reserve, how effective could that be? Just getting them out and out of that, if not physically removed.
That's a big one.
Tearing that down.
Yeah, I think exposing the Fed is a good thing to push. However, that was really the old Ron Paul talking point, and some people have made some lip service to it otherwise. But, I mean, that's not the whole shebang, though. That's really not everything. They've got world banks now. That would be a good step in the right direction, I guess, if you could raise awareness about
this.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. We can put Aryan banks in there instead, bring back the greenback. I don't know. I really think that it needs to just be everything. You've got to actually literally take control of everything. And now, I'm not saying I know how to do that, but that needs to be the goal. And, well, I really think that that's the way you get about getting what you actually want. See, you should overshoot your goals rather than, you know, actually set low goals and, you know, maybe you attain them. Oh, look, we got 16th of Georgia as our little white homeland. So we're happy here. We got a little Aryan reservation. You know, we wanted a whole state, but they gave us just a little bit. So they went to the bargaining table wanting just a little section. Or libertarians, oh, we just want to be left alone. I think that's the wrong way to approach it. I actually like the slogan of George Lincoln Rockwell, "This time the world." I'm not saying I want, you know, a complete Aryan world, and maybe one day that'd be kind of cool. But I'm just saying that we shouldn't set our sights so low. I think we really underestimate ourselves. Bill.
Yes, I agree. There is no compromise with our enemy to push for a little white ethno-state or something like that. How long could such a thing even last? I don't think it would last for very long. If there is to be victory, it has to be total victory, and I believe all of America must be reclaimed and put under our control. And as towards the Federal Reserve, I agree with Kyle. It's a step towards the right direction, but what I don't know what the proper choices. I'm not an economist. There's a lot of things I'm not, but all I would want, or what I would really want to see, is just a racially motivated person who understands this stuff and have him in the position of economics. He'll know what to do. He'll find the best thing for the situation. It's a big thing. And you wanted to know the name of that song that Kyle played. The song is called "Green Are Our Parachutes." That's the name of that song.
Oh, well, it is labeled as Waffen SS Choir somewhere on YouTube. Okay. So that's how I knew it. Thanks for clarifying that, Bill. We've got a new caller from Alabama. Welcome. Who's this?
This is Jeff.
Jeff.
I haven't called in a while.
Welcome.
I had a comment. I have a friend that basically it's something that, you know, I've tried to explain the Jewish question to people. And, you know, here I've had people just turn on me. And I'm like, you know, more than anything, you know, it's like, you know, the real Christian people, it's hard to get them woke up to it. But I have a friend that works in a printing shop, and I got a pretty good deal. I had 500 flyers printed up. And what I did is I had a flyer basically said, Jews and blacks unite to destroy the white. And it, I showed a hand with the Star of David on it, and then a black hand uniting. And I went and put them on the windshield at the local kind of mega church near me. And I think that probably did more to, if you can show people that people hate the Black Lives Matter. You know, the media has been indoctrinated for that. And if you can do anything you can to align the Jews with the Black Lives Matter, I feel that will wake white people up, even the Christian white people. I didn't really get to see the aftermath of it because I just put it on the windshield, in the windshield wiper. And, I believe it would.
I have mixed feelings about black propaganda. That's what that is termed when you're pretending to be your enemy. It's kind of like a false flag of sorts.
Well, they've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah,
it's been very successful.
It can be effective. It's something that can work. It gets attention. So I'm not going to rule out any kind of tactic in this war. We need to win. We need total victory. And we definitely need to show the white people that the Jew is not their ally, that the Jew has actually been at the root of this black liberation theology and the black violence that has been directed at the white person through their control of the media and also through the control of organizations like the NAACP and Martin Luther King and his riots and all of that. So to show that is important, because they're definitely trying to get the right-wing, white-wing sympathizing, identifying with the Israeli nationalist cause.
Well, I think when...
What about next year at AIPAC, if a group of people that, white people that could pass as Jews, dressed up as Jews and held up signs that said, even the best of the Goyim should be killed?
yeah, that works, even if it's obvious that they're not really rabbis. I think that's a great thing. That would definitely piss them off. So,
well,
go ahead, Bill.
The funny thing about what you mentioned is because there are the certain percentage of people that do not believe that Jew is a race, and people who are completely oblivious to the situation believe that Jews are Caucasians, that they are Europeans. But in many ways, you cannot prove or disprove someone is Jewish or not. You can say, if you're a white man, you can say you're Jewish, and there is literally no way anyone can discredit that. They cannot convince anyone or accuse you that you are not a Jew.
Especially if you get very indignant. If you get very indignant and start yelling anti-Semite.
Right. You can turn the tables on someone pretty quickly if you're into that kind of thing. But I think
they're standing outside of churches and calling them Christian anti-Semites. And if they tried to come over and debate me and say, oh, we loved Israel and tried to do a lot for them, I'd be like, well, it wasn't doing very good in the Holocaust, whether you were a bunch of Christians then.
Yeah. I think white people going out and acting as Jews could actually be a great tactic. Just thinking about this, because how many times have they been pretending to be white? To spew all of this, all these awful things about white people. Like Tim Wise is just one example. There's a whole meme on Twitter where you see all these journalists talking about, oh, how white people like myself, we have so much privilege. Aren't white people the worst? And then in a tweet, maybe a few days later, a few weeks later, as a Jew, I'd say X, Y, and Z. Oh, wait a second. I see what's going on here. So, yeah, this could be something that, will start to wake some people up if you're going out there as a Jewish person reading quotes from the Talmud. You might get your ass beat, though, depending on where you are, saying some of those things, especially actually around more tribalistic people than whites, like the black people, or even Mexicans. They might not take too kindly to some of the things you'd be spewing either. Or even some good old white boys.
Can I give an opinion on that, Kyle?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just real quick. The biggest problem I think we have as true whites, and from my observation, is that dishonesty just doesn't come as natural to us as it does to them.
I think that's a good point.
That's why so many of them are lawyers. I mean, what is a lawyer? He's a professional liar. I mean, and they flood that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it's somebody that also doesn't usually care whether or not the side that they're arguing is the correct one. It's like a debate team. Well, you're just going to roll the dice to see who takes what side. You know, and well, you got to argue it and argue it with passion and try to win. It's very, that's pretty dishonest and amoral.
It's theatrical. It's just pretending. That's why Jews are good at acting. I mean, I think Adolf Hitler said that Jews were the champions of acting, and that's all. If anyone's been in the court of law, I've been on a jury before. Acting is just, being a lawyer is just acting. You're just, literally, most of these guys are playing towards the audience. They're playing your emotions. They just do it differently, but it's just an act.
Do you think you could play a Jewish person for some black propaganda if you had to?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm absolutely certain that I can. In fact, in casual conversation, when talking about Jewishness, I have even stated that I'm part Jewish. I never say I'm a full Jew. I always say I'm part Jewish because it's really hard to refute. And I don't see it as wrong, if anything. It's like, well, you can't say that about Jews. I'm part Jewish. My grandfather was a Jew.
Yeah,
Kyle, I'm the one that calls in that his grandfather actually is a Jew.
Oh, Jeff, yeah. There's so many people that call in, I can't remember such things. All right, so Jeff is part Jewish. He might be lying to us as some sort of, I don't know, but Jeff is part Jew. Okay. Okay, so we got
a quarter that I have red hair and blue eyes. Nobody would ever really think it, but maybe my quarter Jewishness would give me the ability to lie and be deceitful to hurt the Jews. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's also why we can't necessarily trust what you're putting forward. So, always got to be careful with that. Okay, let's see. We've got about 10 minutes left here. I'd like to close with some more productive, or not to say that the conversation thus far has not been productive, but perhaps constructive and optimistic thoughts, because it can be very distressing looking at our situation today, look at everything allied against us. But we've always got to keep heart, to not smoke the hopium, but to realistically have a vision for the future that we believe we can attain. Otherwise, what are we doing? The thing is, I think a lot of people out there don't even believe that a future is possible. A lot of people have really given up in their hearts that we can win this. And that is something that our enemy has been trying to do for a very long time through psychological warfare. So let's try to get an accurate prognosis from our callers here tonight. We'll start with Tony, go to Bill, and then see what Jeff, the quarter Jew, would like to say about this. All right, we'll go to Tony for your thoughts. What's your prognosis here? I mean, do you think that we can win
this? What's interesting about Jeff, you got me thinking about something. I saw a documentary a while back about Hitler, Germany, the Nazis, and how he permitted the quarter Jews to stay. And there was one guy who was a half Jew, this or that. And what I thought was kind of fascinating about the commentator on this is he kept saying, how could they betray their people? How could they betray their people? Talking about these quarter Jews that went with the Nazis and were actually helping to, what do you call it, to obviously not gas them, but to, exile them, right? And like, how could they betray their people? And I kept thinking to myself, you're forgetting they're three quarters German.
Right. And by the Nuremberg laws.
They're a quarter Jew. They're three. How do you know they didn't sympathize and knew what a pain in the ass? Anyway.
Well, from the Nuremberg laws, they were actually considered German, especially if they were not subversive. They were considered German. I think it would be half Jew that was considered Mischling and not German. So they dealt with it. It was a Jewish question, which had become a Jewish problem because there had been so much intermixing going on because they were considered, well, white. That intermarriage was not really that much of a problem. There was still a taboo against it, but this was something going on at the highest levels of society, of Western culture, of Christendom.
So yeah, it's been a problem for quite some time. And even, well, actually, the Nuremberg laws were seen as pretty radical and extreme at that time. All right, that's what Tony wanted to add, but okay, let's go over to Bill for his prognosis, thoughts about the, well, the realistic outcome that we can possibly foresee here. Do you have any kind of time frame in which you think this could happen? Do you get disheartened by all of the negativity? Let's hear it.
Oh, geez, I get disheartened. Sure I do. I mean, that's kind of why I disappeared for a while, because I was so melancholy. I didn't even want to talk for a while, but I'm feeling better now. I don't really have a prognosis. I don't know what to expect or what to anticipate, but my advice to anyone who's feeling blue or is just not, it doesn't know what to think about it. I think the thing that can help our people the most is pride. Because as white people, as Caucasians, as Aryans, we have so much to be proud of. Our people are so exceptional. We are literally, in my view, we're the shining light of the world. We set the example. And there's so many white people that just don't even see it. They don't see the greatness within their blood or their people, because they've been taught race doesn't exist. And when I talk to people, I always try to seed these ideas with them. I let them know that, hey, ancient Babylon, did you know that those were Caucasians? Those are not Semites yet. They were Caucasians. The old dynasties of Egypt, they were Caucasians. They had blonde hair and red hair. You know that the Paracas people in Mesoamerica, they were Europeans. New genetic studies have found that they are genetically European. There is so much to this story, to our race and our people. The North Americans, there were Caucasians up here as well. There were Caucasians in Eastern China. We were, our influence was so expansive at one time. But you know what? There's been a conspiracy to cover that up, and our greatness is being taken away from us. But you know what? That's just what they're trying to do. But the information is still out there, and slowly, very slowly, the independent people, they're figuring this stuff out, and they're unearthing this. And with this knowledge, if our people only understood how exceptional we were, they wouldn't have any interest in race mixing and throwing away their genetic prominence. Only we understood how exceptional we were.
Yeah, I really think that's a good point. It's somebody that is beautiful in many ways, looking into a mirror and having this hammered into their head that they're ugly, so they believe it themselves. They can't get an accurate picture of how incredible they are. Not just a mirror that reflects the material body, but I'm talking about really looking in and seeing, well, sometimes the heart of gold within people. And all of the creative achievements, it's just amazing. And I know that there has been a great degeneration that has taken place, but I do think that certain media outlets out there that harp on just how degenerate white people are. Oh, look at those thought women over there. Look at these stupid men, these cucks, and everybody's a race traitor. Every white person's just so stupid now. I think a lot of that is demoralization programming to get us to, well, not see the greatness that still lies within us.
It's to get us to race mix. It's to help with that genocide. But like you said, I mean, they say black is beautiful. Fine. If that's what they want to believe, they're free to believe it. But you look in that mirror and you should know that white is beautiful. We are beautiful people. No, I may just have, I'm not a Nord. I have brown hair and I have pale green eyes. In fact, many people think I have gray eyes, but I love it. I think I love who I am. I love our people. I love our women. I love our men. We are. I mean, you see, they don't see it, but when I see it, I see greatness.
Mm-hmm. It's, yes.
Something else. I have full pride in my heart. And when you're like that, there's no going back. You can't unsee it, and you don't want to go back.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go over to Jeff. Jeff, final thoughts here.
Yeah, I've been pretty discouraged lately. I was at Thanksgiving Day dinner with my white side of the family and the people who raised me. I've lived with my whole life. And I started bringing just things up about the USS Liberty. And the 9/11 brought them over a talk where I got kicked out and was assaulted by one of my uncles. And my family, like, they're just cucking out for Jews. And they're not even Jewish or Catholic. And when other people here, I try to, like, USS Liberty will get a little bit of attention, but I bring up the dancing Israelis. They accuse me of being a Muslim lover. And I never bring anything up about Palestinians. I could care less about either Jews or Palestinians. They're not white.
Yeah, it's quite powerful.
They want to identify. They want to attack. I've almost been attacked several times over because they accuse me that the Muslim brainwashing has been so effective,
yep.
Especially here in the South amongst Christians. And it has to go with that you're either one, like either Pepsi or Coke, like you're saying, like you're either for the Jews or you're for the Muslims. And it's really been effective as far as that goes. So subversion is the only. I mean, maybe this. You know, maybe it's the Jewish part of me that's wanting to do that, but I've seen that using anger to wake people up.
If that's what you do well, and that's how you think you can be effective, I'm not going to stop you. You know, use what's at your disposal, as long as you've got the higher goals in mind. I think that we need every single person who's honest about this that we can get. Not joining any particular organization, but doing what they can in their own way. This includes all people of the world, wherever they are. I'm not going to discriminate against people if they want to fight against the common enemy. Do whatever you can.
I mean, this sounds. I've even thought, you know, I don't know if I'd ever do it, but yeah, I would probably. From what I hear, if you have one Jewish grandparent, you're actually eligible to Israeli citizenship. I mean. If we could get, I'm sure there's very few people like me, but if we get a group of people that would be willing to do that, I don't have any children, I'm not married or anything, that could go over there and subvert them. I mean, even if it was going over there and making them get as radical, I mean, that's already pretty radical and the media doesn't show it, but, you know,
we've run out of time, Jeff. All right, thank you. Well, thanks to the callers here tonight. We just missed one. Thanks to all the listeners. Thanks to the supporters. Stay tuned, I'll be back tomorrow night.
Ride, warrior, ride, with your blade by your side, follow on your spirit's steed, while wounds darken and bleed, drink the wind as you fly, hear the night beast cry, cold tears run with the rain, down a horse's mane. Something dark in a hall of stone, something bright like a diamond shone. Mist and magic fill the air, from wedding feast to devil's lair. Suddenly the walls ran red, kith and kin all lying dead. None to find.
How do you now see the future of the issue of immigration developing now across the whole of the European continent, based on what you're seeing there in Germany?
This is a very good point, because immigration is the future. You cannot work and live in a globalized world, in the middle of the world, in Europe, without immigration.
So there's a second thing in that black box, an unrelenting stream of immigration, nonstop. Fewer than 50% of the people in America, from then and on, will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.